Let's get this party started.
Welcome to the I Squint Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to this, the I Squint Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Lang. This is the 15th episode of the I Squint Podcast. It is actually part two of a series of podcasts from the Stage Lighting Super Saturday back on the 22nd of January. The first one, if you remember, was the keynote speech given by Mr. Ken Billington. In this part two, I sat down with Mr. Sonny Sunfeld. You better know who he is. He's an industry legend. He took some time out during the sessions and talked to me a little bit about what the Stage Lighting Super Saturday is, who should be attending, and stuff like that. He also gave some helpful hints at the end about what kind of things to expect from the industry and how to get ahead. So without further ado, here's my interview with Mr. Sonny Sunfeld.
I'm here with Mr. Sonny Sunfeld, industry legend. If you don't know who this gentleman is, you should pick up a book, do a Google search, Sonny Sunfeld, S-O-N-N-E-N-F-E-L-D. Mr. Sunfeld, it's a pleasure and an honor for me to sit here and talk with you about the Super Saturday here at LaGuardia High School in New York City.
But let me correct you. Mr. Sunfeld is my father. I'm Sonny.
Okay. Well, you know, I come from a military background.
It's an old gag that I use.
Right, right. You know, I always am a big stickler of calling somebody, you know, introducing them with respect, you know, Mr. Sunfeld, because, you know, I come from a military background. My father was a stickler for that kind of thing. And then, you know, and you bring up a great point with calling people by their first name. You know, I try not to do it until I get permission. In college, when I was in college, you know, I didn't call my professors by their name or professor, whatever. It was by their first name. And in this industry, I noticed that a lot. No, that's my father. That's, you know, just call me by my first name. It's so much easier. And, yeah. You know, it just brings up a great point about how small this community is and how personal they are, you know. Not only are they professionals and industry co-workers and all that, but friends, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good point because we talk about Jules, mm-hmm. not Jules Fisher. You say Jules, everybody knows who you're talking about.
Right.
You talk about Ken, and you know they're talking about Ken Billington.
Right.
And there's a lot of people like that. We use their first name, and everybody knows who you're talking about. It used to be Theron. You never said Theron Musser. You just said Theron.
Right, right.
But let me go back to where you started. The way this began is I've been very fortunate. I made a good living in selling stage lighting equipment. I used to work for Century, and I represented Colortran, and I worked for ETC for a while, and I formed Lighting and Electronics. But it goes back to the beginning. So I had a good life and made a good living and have no regrets about it. But about 25 years ago, I felt that, you know, when I started, I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I helped somebody move a piece of scenery in a gym, and he said, can you come back this afternoon and help me set it up for the play and move the scenery there? I said, sure. My counselor, we were playing baseball, and I was not a good athlete. He was glad to get rid of me. So I helped him move the scenery, and I worked backstage with him. And then I hung Fresnels and stuff and was doing okay and enjoyed it. And I belonged to a club at the Central Jewish Institute that was associated with this camp. And I continued to help him. Then he moved on, he got a better job. And so then they paid me to do what I was doing for nothing, but I was in charge. And I copied what he did. And I could make it look pretty good. Once in a while, even the curtain opened and they applauded. But I didn't know what I was doing. So I happened to know a guy who was a great scene designer, a lighting designer, a guy named Gene Morley. I was in his office one day, we were talking. I said, Gene, and I told him I could do pretty good, but I really didn't know what I was doing. And he bust out laughing, and he reached behind and took out his copy of Stanley McCandless's Method of Lighting the Stage. He said, read this. So I read it, and for the first time, I knew what I was doing. I knew why I had a cool light on one side and a warm light on the other side. I did it before, but I had
no
knowledge of what I was doing. So, and then I grew from that. So I remembered those old days, and I remembered that, and I felt there are a lot of people out here all over that do lighting in churches and schools, elementary schools, high schools, and all these off Broadway places that do lighting but don't really understand it, and I should have something like this. And I tried with a number of manufacturers, a number of dealers, to have them do it. And they all said it's a great idea, but they didn't have anybody to do it. So finally, 7 years ago, I said, the heck with it, I'm going to do it myself. And I did the first one at Pace, and Scott Parker was a great help. And after the first one, he and I partnered on the next five. This is the fifth year we're doing Stage Lighting Super
This is
Saturday.
The sixth year, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And we've been very fortunate that each year we've gotten 100, 120 people to attend. And one of the reasons makes it work, we were fortunate to get what we call manufacturer showcases, which is not only manufacturers, also distributors like Barbizon and PRG that come to support us. And their support, they get a table on stage and talk to students. Their support makes it viable for us to do it and only charge $100 or $150, whatever we charge. But and we decided to do it all day. And we have coffee and we have lunch so the people don't stay here. And the manufacturers love it. And the distributors, because the kids, they're not just kids, this guy almost sold as I am here. And the people enjoy it, and it seems to be successful because people keep doing it. But last year we did it in Atlanta, the year before we did it in Los Angeles. But I think we'll come back to New York next year.
So we're going to stick in New York for the next year?
I think so.
Okay.
I think there are enough people that haven't been here that will want to come.
And it's pretty central, and then there's always the draw of seeing a Broadway show or something like that.
Well, most of the people that come are local.
Okay.
But we do have people from Baltimore. We have people from the George School in Pennsylvania.
Got somebody from D.C. right here.
They are. So, but I would say that 90% of people are local. So
okay.
It doesn't involve Broadway in a sense, but local people that feel they, as I did, that there's a lot they don't know and that
sure.
they want to learn.
So this is, Super Saturday is more geared towards the college, high school level profession or education students?
It's geared to the people that are doing lighting but don't know what they're doing.
Right.
That have
right.
a lot to learn. Now, about 20 years ago, I guess, now I started Broadway Lighting Master Classes,
mm-hmm.
and then I sold that to Lighting Dimensions, but that's geared to the professional.
Okay.
Those people are professionals that come in and hone their skills and learn and develop. John? They learn and develop new things. This is for people in the learning process.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody here, some of them are college people. There are a few professionals. Some of them are engineers, but mostly students, high school and college students.
Definitely.
Yes.
Great. You know, thank you. I just lost my train of thought. Sorry.
That's all right.
I got so many things running in my head. What are some of the things that students, these, I don't want to say less informed, but the people that are here today that are learning about lighting new products, new methods and stuff like that, new technologies, what's one of the key things that they should take away from Super Saturday?
The fact, the knowledge that there's so much that they don't know,
mm-hmm.
and a chance to learn more. And I hope Scott mentions a couple of books that they might read to learn a little more. And that they're not alone. There's a lot of people out there that are beginning in stage lighting. And the way to learn is by doing,
mm-hmm.
and by lighting and making mistakes. And even people like Jules Fisher, who's one of the top Broadway lighting designers, where he has an idea, he gets a sample and he tries it out in his office before he does it. But hands-on, you know, hang a spotlight, focus it, see what it does, see what the color is. And one thing that they should do is look at shadows. You can learn a lot about lighting by looking at the shadow. You can see the direction that the light comes from. You look at the person that it lights, and you see that the face is lit or isn't lit, and you say, gee, if they only move that spotlight 5 feet forward. One of the things that Ken talks about, though we didn't today, is that the first thing about stage lighting is that you want to be able to, you want to make it so the audience can see the actors.
Okay.
And that's the first requirement of lighting design, is to make sure the audience can see the actors. And to do that, McCandless's method of lighting the stage shows you that, how with 12 spotlights you can light 6 acting areas, a warm color from one side and a cool color from the other side. And then you do that, and the actors can be seen. Then you can add shadows, you can add specials, and you can add border lights and everything else. Like, but first, the actors have to be seen.
Yeah, if you can't see an actor, we've pretty much failed at our job.
Yes, absolutely true. Okay. And I think that's, if they take that away from that, the main job is to make the actor visible, even if it's only in white light.
Right.
And the rest of it, just adding to it, and there's a lot to add. As a matter of fact, when I started, a Broadway show had 150 to 200 spotlights and maybe 4 rows of border lights. Today, a big musical will have 800 to 1,000 conventional lights and 75 to 125 moving lights.
Wow.
Now, you can only do that because of the control. Consoles are labeled, you know, electronic consoles and electronic dimmers allow you to do anything. So that's, if the lighting is any better or not, I don't want to get into that. I think it is. I think that the directors feel that the audience demands more in the way of lighting, and so it's the producer's job to give them more because they expect more, and that's true, but every once in a while, I know Natasha Katz is one of the great Broadway lighting designers, did a play with 12 spotlights.
Oh my goodness.
It was 3 prisoners of war in Vietnam or someplace, and they were in 3 cells, and she had on each one one lighting the right side of the face, one the left side of the face, and a backlight. So it's 3 lights for each person, and she had a backup for each, so it was 18 lights.
Sure.
Not 12. And she did a great lighting job.
Wow.
So, and I wrote an article a long time ago, a couple of years ago, for Lighting Sound America, but I said, just because you got it, don't mean you got to use it.
Exactly.
Because you have moving lights and you have spinning lights and gobos, you don't have to use them. You don't have to use rotating gobos. If the play calls for it, absolutely.
So you're saying don't let technology drive your design.
That's a good way of saying it.
Fantastic.
That's a good way of saying it.
Well, I want to wrap up here one thing. You know, since you're an icon in our industry, everybody knows who you are. You've been in this industry for how many years now?
Oh, well, let me not start when I was in kids camp. Well, I got out of the Army in 1945, and I went to work for Century Lighting at the time. It's now part of Strand.
Sure.
But it became Strand. So since 1945.
So 65-ish years now.
Oh, no, 75.
75 years in the industry.
65.
65.
65.
So 65 years in the entertainment lighting industry. You've seen, you've met, you know a lot of people in the industry. You've got so many experiences. What is the one piece of advice that you can give either a new person or a young designer? What is the one thing that you think they need to know coming into this industry?
I can't leave it at one. I'll give you a few.
Okay.
One, I think, is loyalty.
Loyalty, okay.
You've got to be loyal to whoever you're working for, whether you're a lighting assistant or you're working for a manufacturer or you're going to school. You have to be loyal. And then the other thing is dependability. Anybody gives you an assignment, they have to know that you're going to do it and you're going to do it completely. And one thing I would say, never lie. Because if there's a problem and you tell your boss what the problem is, you can solve it.
Mm-hmm.
If you lie and make believe there's no problem, then they can't solve it and the problem gets magnified. So all the other people say passion. You have to have passion. Well, I think it's great to have passion in anything you're doing. Of course, it makes you better. Mm-hmm. It means that you care and you're going to put so much, all of yourself, into it to make it care. And then if you're doing architectural lighting, you're going to meet a lot of new friends because you're going to walk around looking up, looking at the lights, and keep bumping into people and make new friends. But basically, it's caring and doing your job and doing it well and completely. And that's as much advice as I could give.
Great. Mr. Sonnenfeld, thank you so much for joining me here on the iSquint podcast. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for joining me here on the iSquint podcast. This has been the 15th episode with Mr. Sonny Sonnenfeld. You can go and download part one, which is the keynote speech from Mr. Ken Billington from the Super Saturday. Don't worry, there's more coming up here in the next couple days. Thanks again, and have a good one.
It's the perfect time of year. Somewhere far away from here.